It would be my guess that each person here has probably received a gift at some time that has been significant. It may have been something that you needed. It may have been something that you wanted but wouldn't purchase for yourself. And it may be something that you never, ever dreamed of receiving. But somehow that gift has made an impact on your life. Maybe it was this Christmas season. Maybe you gave a gift that you wanted to be significant in the life of another person. Now, some people are really good at this. They spend a lot of time thinking about that gift and how they're going to give that gift and when they're going to give that gift. And I got to tell you, I'm not that person. You can ask Ruthie. Over the years, I've been incredibly grateful for Kay Jewelers. Now, Kay Jewelers has become a reliable source for significant gifts for me to give in the various places that I've lived around this nation. You know their ad campaign, every kiss begins with K, right? Okay? Well, the assumption is that a gift from K Jewelers will result in a response. Hopefully, a kiss. And everybody knows that the word kiss begins with K, right? Well, give me a little latitude this morning. I want to play with that a little bit. And I'd like to suggest that gifts that matter elicit a response. Gifts that matter elicit a response. The greatest gift ever given was the gift of the Messiah. The Messiah was revealed to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to all people. Greatest gift ever given. And today we celebrate that we are recipients of that gift on Epiphany. An Epiphany is a sudden or a great understanding that brings change into the lives of men and women, young and old. Jesus the Messiah was that gift given by God that brought change and continues to bring change to our lives. I'd invite you to follow along with me as I read this morning from Matthew chapter 2. Listen to God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. For you are the rock and redeemer of our lives. You are the one who has brought light into our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to respond in ways that give you glory and honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Gifts that matter are meaningful. It isn't every gift that elicits a journey from another nation. But that's what we see here in this passage. The Magi, or the wise men, are learned people who have studied the stars, and they were looking for the coming of a Messiah. Now, what's significant about these Magi is they were not Jewish. In fact, scholars say they may well have been pagans. They traveled for weeks, for months, from the east to Jerusalem to see the one who was born King of the Jews. They said, "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, several years ago, I received an email where a friend of mine pondered what would have happened if the three wise men, or the Magi, were three wise women. They would have stopped to ask for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and bought practical gifts. But the point's not about directions or travel time or housekeeping skills. The clue to the importance of the Magi is who they were and what they brought. The gift of the Messiah is so filled with meaning that the wise men, the Magi, responded. Now let me give you a little spoiler alert here. The biblical account of the Magi is found only in one gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. Thank you, my biblical scholar friends. There's no mention of there being three. Okay? There are no names mentioned. In fact, they're not mentioned in the birth narrative of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We think the wise men came up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? But we always put the wise men at the stable, don't we? Hallmark has had its influence on us. But they probably came later. The Magi thought it meaningful enough to embark on a journey following a star of all things, to go to Jerusalem and ask about the whereabouts of the King of the Jews, to bring gifts fit for royalty. What baby is going to use gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Gold is a gift fit for a king, frankincense for worship, and myrrh for burial. There's a whole sermon in there. But it was so meaningful for the Magi that they even disobeyed the directive of the king. They didn't go back to Herod after they found the child. They went home by another route. This baby was so significant that they invested their time and their energy and their resources. Why? Because the Messiah was a meaningful gift from God. The Messiah was a gift that mattered. And gifts that matter are meaningful. They elicit a response. And gifts that matter are also memorable. The visit of the wise men to Jerusalem prompted a memorable experience for King Herod. Now, remember who King Herod is. This is Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a highly ambitious, ruthless tyrant. He was the kind of person whose ego was so big. Now, when I say so big, you're supposed to say, how big was it? Okay, let's try this again. He was the kind of guy whose ego was so big, was so big that it would enter the room at least 2 minutes before he arrived. Okay? Herod would stop at absolutely nothing to get what he wanted. In fact, he would kill those who stood against him. He killed one of his wives and three of his sons. There's a quick picture of King Herod. Can you imagine what it would have been like in Jerusalem when the Magi got there and Herod heard that they were asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Verse 3 says it all. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. You know how it is in your family of origin when mom or dad isn't happy and nobody happy, right? In Jerusalem, when Herod wasn't happy, nobody was happy. But he did his market research. He called together the chief priests and the teachers of the law to learn where the Messiah was to be born according to the law. He met secretly with the Magi. He wanted them to tell them when the star had appeared. And he sent them, he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And I want to say, yeah, really? If they believed that, I think Herod had some waterfront property down by the Dead Sea to sell them. The gift of the Messiah was memorable. On the positive side, the birth of the long-awaited Messiah brought joy. Joy for the Jews, joy for the Gentiles. The gift of the Messiah was for all people, even for Herod. And yet the birth of the Messiah brought a crisis for Herod. For Herod, there couldn't be another king, not for the Jews, not for anybody. He was king. There was no room for anyone else. And so the gift of the Messiah was memorable for Herod. He responds in a self-serving way. He appears interested, but his interest is all about gaining an advantage. He used the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the Magi for his own purposes. And later in Matthew 2, we see that Herod issued an order to kill all the boys 2 years old and younger. Why? Let's make sure we get this one that was to be born king of the Jews and take care of this other person because there's not room. Gifts that matter are memorable and they elicit a response. And gifts that matter make a difference. They make a difference in the way that we live our lives and the way that we make our choices. The Magi responded in ways that were appropriate. They sought the Messiah. They worshiped him. They gave him gifts. Herod responded by seeking out the Messiah, but why? Because he was threatened. He wanted to be the important one, and he would do anything he could to assure that end. This story is packed with meaning and understanding. But we celebrate the season of Epiphany to realize that God revealed Jesus not only to the Jews, but to all of us. And that changes our lives. This last week, I had the opportunity to read a social media post that a friend of mine put up on his website. It was very interesting. Let me share with you what he said. He said, isn't it interesting that we celebrate Advent with candles and carols and Lent with ashes, but almost ignore the season of Epiphany? Epiphany is that season between Christmas and Lent that focuses on the joyful witness to Christ. Ironically, this is the only season whose primary practice isn't supposed to happen inside a church, and yet our neighbors and our culture know very little about this season. He goes on to say, follow the logic. After we long for Christ to come, we celebrate his coming, announcing peace and goodwill. It follows, doesn't it, that the next step is to share this wonderful news with friends and neighbors, that there is good news in Jesus Christ. Now, I read that, and after I read that, I was watching the Today Show on New Year's morning. Now, I tend to be an early riser, and so that's just part of what I do. And as they came on, the co-hosts were lamenting the fact that the Christmas holidays were reaching an end and that decorations would be coming down and they'd have to take down the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. And one of them said, well, yeah, but when does it come down? Dylan Dreyer, gotta love her. She's the weather person, substitutes for Al Roker, right? She's a Rutgers University grad. Go Rutgers. Anyway, she says, yeah, it's the feast of, and she couldn't come up with Epiphany. She kept saying, it's the feast of, it's some feast. Well, I looked her up on Twitter, and I sent her Epiphany. And I also told her what Epiphany was about. No response. No response. What if we took this season seriously and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with others? If gifts that matter make a difference, how do we respond to the birth of the Messiah? And so I want to give you a challenge. Are you up for this? Or you want to hear it first, right? I'd like to give you a challenge today for the season of Epiphany to take a step of faith. Ask the Lord to put someone's name on your mind. That's it. Pray for that person. Pray for an opportunity to serve that person in some way. Pray for an opportunity to show that person the love of Jesus. And pray for an opportunity that maybe you'll get to tell that person who Jesus is and why you follow Jesus yourself. Can you do that? All I'm asking you to do is pray. See what God does. See what God does. You see, the gift of the Messiah makes a difference. Gifts that matter make a difference in our lives. They elicit a response. This morning we have the opportunity to share in a meal that matters. It's a meal that is filled with meaning. It's a meal that is memorable. It's a meal that makes a difference. And it isn't something we come and share in and then just go back and sit in our pews and go back to our homes. This is a meal that sends us out because it's a gift that matters. It elicits our response. So how will you respond to the gift of the Messiah in your life? Is it a gift that is filled with meaning? Or is it a gift that's become meaningless? Is it a gift that is memorable? Or is it quickly forgettable? Is it a gift that makes a difference? Or is it a gift for which we are indifferent? My friends, gifts that matter elicit a response. May we be people who joyfully respond to the gift that God has given to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.